Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome back to Grant and Danny on 106.7 The Fan on this, the 9th day of July in 2020. Always appreciate you guys listening. So much going on in D.C. sports, and a lot of it having to do with the Redskins and their team name, and looks like it's now imminent that it will change and what that could mean for potentially getting a stadium in the nation's capital. So we thought we'd get some insight on that from Eleanor Holmes Norton, who's kind enough to join us right now, a delegate in the U.S. House of Representatives and, of course, a congresswoman in D.C. Congresswoman, thanks so much for the time. Grant and Danny here. How are you doing?
I'm good, and good to be with you.
Thank you so much. So I guess let's just start with the developments of the last week. It seems like for many, many years, there wasn't a whole lot happening on the name change front. There was people that told Dan Snyder they wanted him to change the name. He didn't seem interested in listening. And over the last several days, that's changed dramatically to the point now where it seems like it's going to happen. Your thoughts on what changed and maybe just what you think about that?
I think it's pretty clear what changed. Dan Snyder was dug in to the point of losing money on his team, which isn't doing very well, and on a stadium that he desperately wanted them to play in. But the George Floyd matter has changed everything of the kind. The nation will no longer tolerate racially insulting names. No more for Snyder than for anybody else. We've seen statues come down. We've seen names changed. Snyder understood that he had no future in the nation's capital, where he desperately wants to be, unless he changes the name. And so he is now, as I understand it, contemplating a set of names from which to choose.
Congresswoman, assuming, and this is still to be completed here, the name is changed, something acceptable that we can all get behind. What are the obstacles that would remain for the team coming back to Washington, D.C. and playing their home games in D.C.?
Oh, there are obstacles. There are differences in the council on whether the best use, the highest and best use for that land, which is the most valuable land left in the District of Columbia, and we don't have much land. We can't build high, so land is more important to us than for other jurisdictions. Whether the highest and best use is a team that plays maybe 8 times a season, or whether it should be used for housing and retail. So it's not by any means decided, even if the name is changed. There is still a huge discussion to be had in the Senate, and frankly, lots of disagreement on whether this is the best use for that site. And if that site isn't available, then of course Snyder has to stay where he is or find some other venue.
Congresswoman, would you be an advocate for the team returning to the RFK site?
That's a home rule issue that I leave to the district. My job is simply to get the land for the district. That's all. For the decades that I've been in Congress, I have never told the Congress my own opinions. I don't want to sway them one way or the other. They've got to do what's best for the district. I do what's best in the Congress.
Eleanor Holmes Norton is with us on Grant and Danny. When's the last time you actually talked to Dan Snyder? Do you guys have any kind of relationship, or do you talk much?
The city talks to Dan Snyder. I don't talk to Dan Snyder, but I'm a three-generation Washingtonian, and that history does not have – that team does not have the best history in the District of Columbia. It was the last team to integrate. It was a segregationist team, a segregationist owner. It was on Georgia Avenue. It moved, then it came back. This is a new Washington. It's got to be a new team and a new Dan Snyder.
Understand that for sure. I mean, respectfully, probably done a lot of great for the city as well. You know, a lot of my best bonds with people who don't look like me. And you look at what the Nationals as an example or the Capitals have done for the community and what sports can do to unify. You know, the Redskins, when they were winning Super Bowls, bringing people together in town. I probably did a lot of great for Washington, D.C., along with some of those issues of the past as well.
Well, make no mistake that the football is the only major sport that is not in the nation's capital. So, yes, you would think that the nation's capital in any sport would want to be here. So I'm not saying that we shouldn't have a football team. Every major city, a city of any kinds of notoriety, usually has a team. But the city has got to decide, since it really is in a very different position than many cities, because the city can't build high. Therefore, every acre of land, every ground, piece of ground is important. And it's got to make a choice between whether it wants to build housing, for example, with the district having the highest priced housing in the United States, or whether it wants to build a sports stadium. And I'm not into the disagreements or arguments, but I can tell you that there's going to be a fight over that in the council.
Congresswoman Eleanor Holmes Norton, kind enough to join us here this morning on Grant and Danny. Congresswoman, I'd love for you to go into the legislation about the tax-exempt status of the NFL. I think it's back in 2014, if I've got my information right, but just sort of holding this league and this team sort of feet to the fire here as an impetus for the change that it seems like we're seeing today.
Well, that's the one area in which I was able to make some ground. I put in a bill to take away the tax-exempt status, and the team withdrew. The NFL voluntarily gave up its tax-exempt status.
Our guest is Congresswoman Eleanor Holmes Norton, joining us on Grant and Danny here on The Fan. We've been talking about the RFK site, and forgive me if this is a silly question. Is there anywhere else in D.C. where they could build? That's the only place I ever hear talked about.
That is not a silly question. That is not a silly question. That is a very pertinent question. That is the only site left where they could possibly build. Not only is it the appropriate site were they to build, there is no other site. And that's where the point I was trying to make before, that the district is land scarce and it can't build high. So if there is another site, no one has ever pointed out where it is. Maybe there is some site somewhere in Southeast, but I think you would find that would be parkland. So in terms of a site that is owned by the federal government or by the District of Columbia, no one that I know of has suggested that there's an alternative site. And, of course, this site is extraordinarily well-placed. It faces you drive straight from the Capitol to this site.
Congresswoman, one of the main reasons the name's changing, it would seem, other than some of his investors telling him that they would prefer that he did it, you would think is so Dan Snyder can get back into D.C. I'm curious, would any name change lead to a sign-off? There's some thought that maybe they stick with a Native American theme, you know, that they do something with a logo or a name, whether it's Warriors or something else. I mean, is it still a conversation that has to happen based on the name, or Is it name specific as to whether or not you guys would endorse a move back to the city?
I don't think it's based only on the name, and the name is going to be up to him. I understand he's considering various names. Someone has, and various names, by the way, are being suggested to him. But as I understand, the name is the first step, and then he still is not home free. Not a touchdown yet.
Congresswoman, what would it mean? I'm a D.C. resident, and I've lived here for many, many years. I went to high school and college in Washington, D.C. I love this city, and I've loved watching it grow. And, you know, we've got our wrinkles, and there's plenty of things that we still need to work on, just like the rest of the country. But it would mean a lot to me as a lifelong fan of this team to have them come back to Washington, D.C. What do you think that would mean if we could somehow get over all the hurdles that you've mentioned to have this franchise back home in Washington?
Well, I think you will find many residents of the city who are still fans of the football team, even with the name. And, of course, there's prestige associated with having a team. From the point of view, I suppose, of the council, where there is still lots of feeling that the land should be used for housing and other amenities, for them it is an economic decision. And for them, the economics of it plays into other uses. That's why it is a city position, a city decision that nobody in the Congress should make for it.
What kind of timeline would we even be looking at, by the way? Let's say in the next few weeks they do change the name. A lot of people are acting like they'll just be playing a year or two from now in that stadium. They're obviously under a lease through 2027. I mean, how would all that even work? What types of things? You've said there are still obstacles. You highlighted a couple of them. What would happen, like, after they change the name? Give us an idea of kind of the blueprint of moving forward to try to get back into D.C.
Well, I'm not sure I can lay it out precisely, but I can tell you that there will be a huge – there will be some distance to go. I would think you could get there within the next 6 months. But the council is going to have to decide the threshold question. You can change the name all you want to, but you've got to decide what use will be made of the land. So the next step will be I will now try, and because there is a Democratic House, I think I ought to be able to get the land, my bill to transfer the land to the District of Columbia. I think I ought to be able to get that passed. I can't guarantee that that could happen before the end of the year because the only bills that are passing the Congress are priority bills. I'm here at home teleworking because we're not even meeting unless absolutely necessary. I have been able to get my D.C. statehood bill, which is a priority for the Congress. But priorities for Congress in the middle of a pandemic tend to be appropriation bills and other bills that the country must have on an annual basis, not bills like my bill for the football stadium. Now, mind you, I'm going to try to get that bill done, but I can't guarantee that it'll be done this session. So there'll be some holdup in the Congress, but the district could use that time to make its own decision about how it wants to use the land, which is by no means a foregone conclusion.
Congresswoman, please forgive my ignorance on this, but you mentioned D.C. statehood. If that goes through all the way and D.C. becomes a state, how would that complicate or facilitate this conversation about the Redskins coming?
It really wouldn't because it would remain an issue for the District of Columbia and really not a statehood issue. It is that bill has already passed the House. There's likelihood that the Senate will change and become Democratic and even that the presidency will change. But to get a statehood bill takes more time than to get a football bill through or a land change bill through.
You said you think you'd be able to get the land given back to the district. What's the fight there? What's the argument against giving it back to the district that you'd be battling against?
Well, now that's an interesting question. I've not heard of political differences between Republicans and Democrats in the Congress. And I would imagine that if Snyder is on board, I would be able to get my bill through to allow the district to buy the land. That's all my bill would do. District would have to buy the land from the federal government.
And Congresswoman Eleanor Holmes Norton is with us. Do you think Dan Snyder has changed his mind on the name, or do you think he's being forced to change the name?
He is. He made a decision that, though I am not a business person, I must disagree with. He decided that the trademark interest in his name was more important than the team itself. I don't think he changed. I think he was forced to change by the climate that is forcing all racial slurs to and other indications of racial discrimination or racist heritage to disappear, or change will be moved to museums.
Congresswoman, thank you so much for the time this morning and all your years of service advocating for the district, my home. Thank you very much for joining us. We appreciate it.
My pleasure. Bye-bye.
Eleanor Holmes Norton with us on Grant and Danny here on The Fan. She has been a U.S. House of Representatives member and a congresswoman dating back to her time when she assumed office in January of 1991. Great to have her on the program. If you want to react to anything you just heard, 800-636-1067 is the number. A couple of things I want to talk with you about, Danny, next, including just because the name changes doesn't necessarily mean RFK is definitively going to happen. We could discuss that on G&D next. Grant and Danny, welcome back. 106.7 The Fan, and thanks a ton for listening to the show. If you missed that interview Pete was just talking about with the congresswoman from D.C., Eleanor Holmes Norton, you can check it out at radio.com with the rewind function. You can go to thefandc.com. Andrew Brandt has been in front offices in the NFL for years, was an executive and a president with the Packers, and has now talked about the business side of football, various outlets, including ESPN, for several years, and one of our favorite guests to have on the show. Andrew, I want to talk to you about what's going on with the Redskins right now and changing their name. Can you give us an idea of who is in on these meetings and how this is going? Because without a team president or a GM, it feels like it's Ron Rivera and Dan Snyder and maybe a really small group of people.
Yeah, guys, good to be with you. And as some people listening know, I'm born and raised, diehard Redskin fan, going to games all my life. Probably grew up a block, three blocks or so from Dan Snyder, although never knew him. This is something that's going to be discussed at the highest levels, but internally in the micro level with the team, you're right. It just seems like the owner and the coach are handling this as kind of a 1-2 punch. You don't see a lot of executives in the discussions, at least what we read and hear. But guys, I'm literally shocked at two things. One, that there is momentum to have this done, but even more so that it seems like the momentum is so strong it may be done before the season, which is Herculean, because you talk about logos and marks and trademarks and patents and imaging and branding, and not only the team branding but league branding and NFC East branding. To make that happen normally, in a normal situation, I would think 2-3 years. And now we're talking about 2 months. So there seems to be this word out there that it's going to happen, especially when you hear about, like you said, the coach and the owner actually talking about new names. So that tells me this is happening.
Andrew, are they making a mistake going this fast?
You know, I think there's going to be people that say that. I just think it's not going to happen in totality. I just think 2020, if it happens, which is a whole other discussion, is about some provisional aspect to it. I just can't see the marks and everything being ready to go. So somehow they come up with some temporary thing for 2020. And then you're right, maybe the climate changes, everybody's thinking about different things in a year, and maybe it goes back to some compromise between the name and not having any imagery and all these kind of things. But yeah, it seems like it's a rush, but when I'm hearing the owner and coach are talking about it, I don't think it just happened. I think something was out there for quite a while.
That's what we were wondering about yesterday. Is there a chance that maybe behind the scenes, when we weren't paying attention to this as a media locally or nationally, that they'd already gotten a jump start on this? Andrew Brandt is with us to discuss changing the name. Can you get into – we act like it's a logo and a name, and then they wipe their hands with it and they're done. Like, I'm kind of on your side of this where I'm thinking this is months and months, and this is a detailed process. Some of the things we might not think about that would have to happen.
Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to think of my time 10 years in the league with the Packers, if there was anything like this. I mean, I think we had expansion teams like Jaguars and Panthers, but that was all new stuff. I've never really seen a changeover. But I know, you know, listen, when you talk about anything with the NFL, you're talking about a long, long process. Just think about even discipline. You know, where Jameis Winston was suspended 2 years after allegedly groping an Uber driver. Or we just don't hear about the Ezekiel Elliott thing. His suspension was a year past when it actually happened. So I just don't see that this is happening right now. And I think there are a lot of people in NFL offices that are saying what you're saying is, let's not react to the climate in the reason we're doing this. Let's do it for the right reasons. So I guess what I always come back to with decisions like this that hit the news and then you don't hear about it, I'll believe it when I see it.
Andrew Brandt with us here on Grant and Danny. And people, I'm just amazed, Andrew, in so much as Ron Rivera hasn't even held a practice yet. There's no training camp. He's got no record. I like him an awful lot. I think he's a man of great integrity. I like him as a football coach. I'm glad he's here. It seems unfathomable to me that it's more than just, hey, Ron, what do you think of this? Seems like he's leading this at the behest of Dan Snyder, really kind of exposing the Redskins' front office structure, maybe kind of lack thereof. I'd love for you to expound on that.
Yeah, I mean, in some ways, they're very lucky they hired him. And when I say that, I mean, there was a lot of, especially with Dallas as well, that hired a guy I hired 13 years ago, Mike McCarthy. You always hear this, oh, it's going to be the hot young coach, it's going to be Lincoln Riley, it's going to be this guy out of college, that guy out of college, this 31-year-old coach. But at the end of the day, what the Redskins did, what the Cowboys did, is they went with chalk. You know, they went with the experience. They went with the mature coach. It's not going to get the buzz of a Sean McVay-type hire, but that's what they did. And it is certainly paying off now because, listen, I'm not saying a young coach couldn't handle this, but you have a guy that's been through all the fires and, by the way, a minority. And this is something that he is equipped to do, maybe not as well as a seasoned front office executive, but certainly as well as any coach. And the coach is the face of the franchise. So in some ways, they've got the right guy for this situation. But you're right. I mean, we don't even know if there's going to be football. I mean, there's just so much uncertainty right now.
Yeah, let's get into that. Andrew Brandt is with us on Grant and Danny. When you see right now the league and the Players Association going back and forth, what are some of your big takeaways with, you know, letters J.C. Treader sending out to the players as the president of the PA? And do you think we've got a fight coming, a la baseball, in terms of the money or anything else, or are we in pretty good shape to get a season if COVID allows?
Well, I'm not ready to say the season's off, but we've got a fight. And I predicted this months ago, and I'm patting myself on the back, but it was obvious. You know, what baseball went through is exactly what we're going to see. Baseball had a two-part negotiation. One, health and safety protocols, 110 pages, and then they got to the money. And it was contentious, and it was ugly, and as people know, they never did get a deal. It was imposed by the commissioner, 60-game season, by fiat. Here we go in football. Health and safety, and J.C. Treader, and everyone's already upset at that. They're not even getting that done smoothly because, trying to play football and social distance, good luck with that. But New Year, we haven't even gotten to the money, and now they float out the 35% in escrow. And, of course, the NFLPA has not taken that, and there's going to be contentious and ugliness to that. It's probably an opening offer, and we'll see where it goes. But they got a long way to go. And the idea that the rookies are reporting in a week, good luck with that. That's not happening. And the idea that everyone's reporting at the end of the month, right now, that doesn't look good. And we're not even talking about the real issue, which is a raging virus in places where they play a lot of football. So, you know, this, talk to me in 3 weeks, see where we are.
Andrew, what does the Pat Mahomes contract mean for quarterbacks and mean for the league at large?
Well, I've taken a counterintuitive stance this week on a lot of shows, and it's just that I feel that it's a much better deal for the team. And I know everybody, God, I hear it. It's like coming at me like wildfire. Yeah, how could you say that about a $500 million deal? I get it. I get it. It's a lot of money. But when I heard 10 or now 12 years, I thought, okay, he's got to have opt-outs in there, like an NBA deal, and he doesn't. Or he's got to have some cap proportionality. Every year he gets a percentage of the cap, and he doesn't. Or he's got to have some market adjustment when quarterbacks pass him by, which they will, and that's not in there either. So, you know, listen, everyone's going to point to the big numbers. That's what everyone wants. It's easy. But I think this deal gives Patrick Mahomes no optionality the rest of his career. And the only way you make real wealth in football or any sport, real wealth, is free agency. And we all know with Kirk Cousins. But that's not going to happen with Mahomes. He just gave that up. He gave that up for his whole career. So I worry about that deal.
Well, Andrew, it's one of those things the average person sitting at home sees those big numbers and they go, man, Andrew's crazy, but you know too much about what those numbers actually mean, or in this case, don't mean. We appreciate the time. Thanks for hopping on with us. We know you got to jump, and we'll chat with you soon.
Yeah, just real quickly, and again, it's not Bryce Harper, right? Bryce Harper's getting that money. Patrick Mahomes, yeah, it seems like now he's going to be around in 12 years, but who the heck knows? So that's the difference. But thanks for having me, guys. We'll talk soon.
Thank you,
Andrew. Our pleasure. At Andrew Brandt, B-R-A-N-D-T, on Twitter, if you want to follow him. He's very smart. There's a few things in there I want to get into, so we're going to have to circle back to both our interview with Eleanor Holmes Norton and Andrew Brandt in the second half of the show, because she made it very clear that everyone's talking as if the Redskins changed their name and they just get
yeah,
to build
so
on the
fast.
RFK site, which is actually what I was thinking, to be completely honest with you. Like, they changed the name on a Wednesday, and we find out on a Friday that they're headed back to D.C. And it's just not that simple, and it may not happen, as she pointed out, which we can get into. Andrew's take on Mahomes' contract. Obviously, he's in the minority on that, but I think he's got a really good case, and we can tackle that as well. Next for the double play, you've got something prepared for us. Do you want to tell people what it is, Danny?
A good friend of mine is taking today the U.S. citizenship test to become a citizen of the United States. I got the questions. We'll see how well my co-host does, and could he be a citizen of this fine country?
Hey, what's going on in their lives? Nothing to do with sports.
GP, I'll take it from here. I'm not kidding you. I just got word. Just now. This is breaking news in my life. My pal, my good friend, my very dear friend, who was taking the citizenship exam, passed. Citizen of the United States oath this tomorrow morning. So congratulations.
Nice.
That is a very, very, very cool deal. They don't want their name mentioned on air necessarily, but they know who they are. They just passed this bad boy. Very, very cool. That is a big deal. Something that they were worried about, and the questions are tricky. We'll get to them here in a moment, but that is an awesome, awesome thing. That is
because the flag still stands for freedom, and they can't take that away. Big league,
very, very cool, very cool. Oh, that's awesome! Good news. So here's the deal: there are 100 sample questions that they basically make you choose, and I'm telling you right now, GP, they don't ask you 100; they ask you like a sample. But this is where they can pull from. Some of these questions are really tricky because of the wording. So don't feel bad if you don't know it. Like, for example, the first question is this. What is the supreme law of the land? That's a really weird question. That's a weirdly phrased question.
Supreme law of the land? I would say the Supreme Court.
I know what you mean. It's the Constitution, which means it supersedes anything
else. Okay, yeah.
Right? You see what I mean? Like, it's tricky, right? What does the Constitution do? What does the Constitution do, Grant?
What does the Constitution do? I mean,
what does it do?
It provides for us our rights.
Protects basic rights of Americans. That's an acceptable answer. That is an acceptable answer right there. What is one right or freedom from the First Amendment?
Freedom of speech.
Nailed it. How many amendments does the Constitution have?
Okay, I was in a government class.
Yeah.
And I remember the number that's sticking out in my head is 20. It's either 26 or 27. I'm going to say 27.
27 is correct. Look at you, Jeeps. Look
at
you.
Well, I was in an honors government class, and I'll probably remember no answers. But I distinctly remember that because we had to do a project on it.
So I actually, when I was helping my pal study for this thing, I thought 26. That was the numbers in my head. I was right there with you. So the boom goes the dynamite. Advantage Paulson. What are two rights in the Declaration of Independence? Not Bill of Rights. In the Declaration of Independence. What are two rights in the Declaration of Independence?
Like these certain unalienable rights. Life and liberty.
Nailed it. Look at you.
And
look at you,
happiness.
Grant Paulson. Yes. You're crushing this thing.
Well, let's not get too excited.
I mean, seriously, you're crushing it.
By the way, I thought you were going to ask me these have been easy so far, but I know that you're going to just pummel me soon.
No, these are the questions. They're tricky in that way because you go, wait a minute, is that Declaration of Independence or is that Bill of Rights? Which one's which? But you've got it right so far. What is the rule of law? What is the rule of law?
The rule of law? You said the Constitution. What was the Constitution? Supreme?
That's the supreme law of the land. See how these are tricky?
What is rule of law? I'll say the Supreme Court again.
No, looking for.
I don't know what I'm looking for here.
Everyone must follow the law. No one is above the law. Government must obey the law. Leaders have to obey the law. The point is, laws are enforced. They don't apply some of the time to some of the people. That's the rule of law.
Okay.
Let's go down to.
Would not have gotten that.
Yeah, that's a tough one. How many congressmen are there? How many congresspeople are there? Members of the U.S. Congress?
50.
No.
No, that's senators.
Yeah. That's not even senators. The 100 senators. House of Representatives has how many voting members is the phrasing of the question.
House of Reps voting members, it's hundreds. I'm going to say it's 430.
435, right around there, though.
Ah,
but you would have gotten credit for that. That is a tough one. All right. Let's go for this. These are all who's the current president. You know those. What are two cabinet-level positions?
Cabinet-level positions would be, these are the people,
positions?
I'll say Secretary of Defense.
That's
is that
one?
A cabinet member?
Uh-huh.
And I will say Secretary of the Treasury.
Bam, that's two. What does the president's cabinet do, Grant? What does the president's cabinet do?
Runs the departments? Various departments for the president?
That's what I would have thought, but the answer that they accept here is advises the president. That's it. Isn't that weird?
I would say that's common sense. Yeah, I mean, sure. If the president chooses to listen to those people,
they could advise the
president.
The Secretary of Transportation is like running transportation. That's what I would have thought. But again, I think that's another one of those tricky ones. All right. Under the Constitution, some powers belong to the states. What is one power of the states?
State powers, you vote on things in your state that involve, I mean, I'm thinking about specific things I've voted on, so I would say
you're going
education?
Down the wrong track is what I'm going to tell you.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because it's not about you personally. So the power is in your governors, the people that are in charge of your state. What powers belong to the states? Not you, Grant Paulson.
Right. I mean, anything involving taxes is different state to state. California would have, different than Texas and Florida. So I'll say, economic or tax powers.
Not what they're looking for. So here are some examples. Give a driver's license. Provide safety and public works. Provide protection. Police, fire departments. Provide schooling and education. And approve zoning and land use germane to our conversation with Eleanor Holmes Norton, right, about what's going on with Washington, D.C., RFK, etc. There are four amendments to the Constitution about who can vote. Describe one of them, meaning give me the criteria. See, this is one of those confusingly worded questions. There are four amendments to the Constitution about who can vote. Describe one of them, a.k.a. who's allowed to vote.
I think the 15th Amendment is based on race, I believe, right? Right. Women weren't able to vote, suffrage movement, so I would say women were able to vote.
So that's how I thought this was going. Again, a very confusing question. This just means if you're 18, you can vote. If you don't, you don't have to pay a poll tax. Any male citizen, any female citizen. So all those amendments were in there to allow for different groups to vote, as you kind of touched on correctly. But again, just so
that was one of the last amendments was getting to vote when you were 18. I don't know if it was 25 or 27 or what, but it's definitely one of the last ones.
What are two rights of everyone living in the United States?
Do you know your rights? The right to hire an attorney? Is that? Am I on something? Is that a wacky bit?
Those are your Miranda rights. I don't know. I don't know if that's what they're looking for here.
Two rights of people in the United States. I'm going back to life, liberty. I don't know. I got nothing for you.
Expression, speech, assembly, religion.
Oh, sure. Okay. Yeah.
That's just in the first one, that First Amendment there. A couple more for you here. What are two ways that Americans can participate in their democracy?
Voting.
One.
Running for office.
Two. Bam. There's your honors government class. What is one reason colonists came to America?
I would say to get away from Britain, to run their own place, to do their own thing.
That's close. We're looking for freedom. That's a good word. Religious freedom is a big one.
I'd say that's
economic
a long
opportunity.
Line,
so. Yeah, I'll let that one count. Why did the colonists
size for Jamestown?
Why did the colonists fight the British?
So that they could become their own country and not have to deal with the law of the land.
Ooh, you know, I'll give that to you because they didn't have their own self governance. It's basically about taxes, and they didn't want British soldiers staying at their house.
The Tea Party. We all got okay.
There were 13 original states. Name five.
Delaware.
One.
East Coast. Let's go. We got how much time I got, Tommy?
25 seconds.
All right, I'm not going to pull them all. It's definitely Delaware and Jersey.
Yep.
Virginia.
Three.
We'll go with the Carolinas, New York, Georgia.
Four or five, you got it. Yeah, you got it.
It's
you got
the whole
five.
Coast. It's basically not Florida and not like Massachusetts or maybe Maine.
Dude, you did really well. I think you're a citizen of this country. I think you got it.
What percent did I need to get to pass?
I'm not actually sure.
I might have been. Grant and Danny on the team.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.